Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got David Ubben from The Athletic coming up at 7:30. The choice is yours at 7:45. Michelle Knezvik in the questions chair this morning, so looking forward to that a little bit later this hour. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, the penultimate college football playoff rankings coming out last night. Georgia at number one. I don't think anyone's surprised. Yes, let's go ahead and recognize my use of penultimate
there. Very good. Thank you. I like it. Good word.
Michigan, with their big win against Ohio State, moving up to number two in the college football playoff rankings. Alabama drops to three, and Cincinnati remains at four in the college football playoffs, which means Oklahoma State just on the outside at number five at 11-1. Notre Dame at number six at 11-1, now without their head coach as well. So Notre Dame, still technically a chance to get in there, probably a remote chance to get in there, but a chance nonetheless. The top four as of now: Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Cincinnati. Your reaction to the college football playoff rankings, and do you still believe that if Alabama loses and it's close on Saturday against Georgia, and by the way, the line is Georgia favored by 6.5 in that game. If it's close, is there any scenario where Alabama gets in with a second loss?
Well, there's certainly a scenario. I mean, if Cincinnati loses and Baylor beats Oklahoma State, then I think it's a lock. But and I think now that, so let's say that happens, okay? Well, let's take one of those teams out. Here's where I have a problem with the committee looking like a bunch of idiots. Like, they have to say something every week that you're like, huh? So the latest one is, and I don't think it's going to get to this, and I don't think they're good enough. But now all of a sudden the entire country has become like a Notre Dame, Notre Dame fans.
America's team?
Yeah. Yeah. No, all of a sudden we all love Notre Dame because Gary Barta says that the committee can quote, consider a player or a coach not being available. So in other words, Brian Kelly leaving could actually cost Notre Dame in the evaluations of these teams.
Yeah.
Like, that's just outrageous to me. It's just outrageous. I mean, look, I agree that if, like, a team, a team loses, this has happened, in these things before, and it's happened even, like, in the old days with, like, bowl games and stuff. Like, star quarterback is out or something, lost in the game. I mean, it's fair to look at that if it's very close. If two teams are basically equal otherwise, okay, or close to it.
Sure.
But, like, are you going to tell me that, like, if all this stuff would have – this is what would have to happen. Baylor would have to be Oklahoma State. Cincinnati would have to lose. Michigan. I mean, Iowa could beat Michigan. Michigan. You'd have to have a lot of carnage. But it is possible that Notre Dame – elevates into that spot. They're going to get cost that because Brian Kelly left? I mean, forget about, like, your sympathy for the players. Like, do you think that's a good evaluation?
No, I don't. Now, I also have watched Notre Dame play a lot this year, and I don't think they're even close to a top four team.
Well, I agree with that.
But no, like, to me, I mean, the players on the field, they're 11-1. And if the resume says they should get in, then put them in there. I don't care if Brian Kelly's not in there.
I mean, look, they would miss him flipping them off when they make bad plays from the sideline.
They would.
You know? His little tantrums over there. That's infuriating, but I agree with you. They're not good enough. The big concern I have from this beyond that is there is definitely a scenario here for Cincinnati to win – and be they're right there and then still get bumped out. And the scenario is if Oklahoma State
crushes Baylor,
rolls Baylor, who's in? Let's say Cincinnati rolls, okay, in its title game against Houston. And Oklahoma State rolls Baylor. Who's in?
Well, I think it would still be Cincinnati.
Who would you put in?
I'd put Cincinnati in. Now, the other part of this that I think takes care of that is, like, Alabama losing. I think if Alabama loses, which I think is a likely scenario this weekend, I think the most likely college football playoff at this point is Georgia at 1, Michigan at 2, Cincy at 3, Oklahoma State at 4. I think that's probably what we're going to see, would be my guess.
That would be the clean – it would be that now there still would be a lot of, and again, then you get into the what if Alabama loses in overtime to the clear best team in college football.
I know, but at that point, you're talking about a two-loss Alabama team that has not really done itself many favors the last couple of weeks in scraping by against Arkansas and needing four overtimes to take down an unranked Auburn team. So
it right now, no question, but the perception changes so much if it hangs with Georgia. And you're like, anybody watching that game, whether you're an Alabama fan or not, would in all likelihood be like, gosh, this should be a playoff game.
Well, and it's setting up to be a close game. Number one, Alabama is still uber talented out there. So they've got guys that can compete with Georgia, but also now that Georgia's wrapped this up at 12-0, they're in. They could lose by 35 on Saturday, and they're still in the college football playoff. And as much as you want to be motivated for an SEC title, they also know that. Their players do, that they're in the college football playoff. And the conversation – and this doesn't have much to do with the players on the field, but the conversation of Kirby Smart this year – is not going to have much to do as to whether or not he wins the SEC title. It's what he does in the college football playoff.
Well, okay, but first of all, it's still an SEC championship, and I know that's secondary to the playoff. But if you don't come out and handle this game, first of all the Kirby stuff is going to be just blaring by megaphone, coast to coast. Also, now you've let them in, and you don't. I mean, they're still probably they're the most talented possible opponent in the playoff. That now they have the mental edge that they just beat you, and you've let them in the playoff, and now you're probably going to have to go through them again. I mean, hey, I guess if you did lose that game, great, we get another shot at them. But why even let that scenario play out? I don't think this is going to be I just don't think Georgia, top to bottom in any way, is looking at this we're still in the playoff. You're right that they are, so they could take solace in that if they lose. But I think that would be, one, a big mistake on their part, and I don't buy it. I mean, this is absolutely the Kirby, don't screw it up, don't Kirby it, Kirby game. And I think they want to hammer them, get them the heck out of there, and move on.
I mean, look, if Georgia doesn't win the national championship this year, as crazy as it is, you're going to hear some Georgia fans being like, if he can't win it this year, when is he ever going to win it? I mean, that's going to be the talking point.
Well, after last year, it was, wow, Justin Fields sure looks good. Look at that offense. Look how they play offense. Look at what Alabama does on offense. So, great job, Kirby. You've built a defense, but you can't win this way. Well, this team is right now telling us, actually, you can. You can dominate on defense and play some power football on offense and win it if you're that good. But Well, I'd say they have three more wins, but they have really two more wins to prove that.
We'll continue the conversation on the college football playoff. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Reds fans, join us for Smashville Live tonight on 102.5 The Game with special guests Colton Sissons and Tanner Janot. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and on Twitter as well. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking college football playoff. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Going to be joined by our good friend David Ubbin from The Athletic here in about 12 minutes at 7:30. John from Nashville on the text line. If Saban or Harbaugh left their respective teams, would they stand the same chance at winning it all? This is coming from John from Nashville, going back to the Brian Kelly discussion.
Well, I mean, look, obviously, I mean, head coaches are important. I'm not saying that like they don't matter, but you know, I think that ultimately when you get to this situation, I just think frankly it's unfair for a coach to bail on a team and then all of a sudden if a team was, well, let's take Alabama, let's play that out. Let's say Alabama beats Georgia, and then Nick Saban. I'm trying to think, like, what job would get Nick? I mean, hey,
I've always wanted to coach Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like at this point. I mean, we just saw Oklahoma and Notre Dame lose their coaches to other jobs, which I would not have guessed ever would happen for either. So yes, let's say Nick Saban really wants to go to Oklahoma or what else is open right now?
Louisiana. Got to replace Billy Napier.
Yeah, maybe he wants to go back to Louisiana, but he wants to beat Brian Kelly at Louisiana and out-recruit him. So Alabama just beat Georgia. Does Alabama not make the playoff because Saban just left?
I'm going to severely doubt it.
It's just like what a team is got to be what a team is. And if something like that happens, to me it's just not the same as – oh, they, you know, they're not going to have their quota. And even if they don't have, like, if a team has earned it, by the way, let's say Bryce Young gets hurt in the SEC title game. If they won the game, they're still in the playoff. I mean, any of that stuff to me is like, it's got to be minimal. It's got to be your achievement. So it's just irritating to hear them say that last night. Because again, anyone who says, hey, Notre Dame shouldn't be in because they beat no ranked teams on their schedule. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all fair. That's all I'm saying.
No, I agree. And look, it's going to be interesting to see the way this shakes out because let's say Alabama does win against Georgia. We know that Georgia is going to be in. We know that Alabama is going to be in. If Michigan takes care of business against Iowa, we know that they're going to be in. So that's three spots right there. If Oklahoma State wins, what happens with Cincinnati? You've got an undefeated Cincinnati team that does have, you know, at that point, what would be a top six win. So a Cincinnati team that would have a better win on their schedule than Oklahoma State does at any point. Now, Oklahoma State did beat Oklahoma. At that point, they will have beaten Baylor. And I can't remember, who did Oklahoma State lose to? Did they lose to Baylor? I don't remember what their one loss was.
Hold on. I'm going right through the schedule right now. But that's an important point to make, that they don't have a win that matches up with Cincinnati's best win. Their loss was at Iowa State, 24-21.
Okay. That's right.
You know,
Matt Campbell getting in there.
A 7-5 unranked Iowa State team.
Right. So if that scenario plays out, Alabama beats Georgia, so you know two SEC teams are in at that point. Michigan takes down Iowa. They're in. That's three spots. You got an undefeated Cincinnati and a 12-1 Big 12 champion, Oklahoma State. That's going to be interesting. See what happens there.
I mean, the Cincinnati fans out there, Ryan Porath.
Prepare yourself.
The whole program, talk about sweating it out on Sunday. A lot of the debate will come down to, like, the Power 5 versus Group of 5 debate, which is not just Oklahoma State fans, but anybody who is just like, okay, well, gee, I'm seeing K-State ranked at the time. I'm seeing a win over Baylor ranked at the time. Now, a lot of this is ranked at the time. Oh, great. You beat Texas 32-24. Right. Well, they're not very good. You did – I mean, I think the win at West Virginia, okay. Like, that's That's a team that at least beat some teams this year, but it's also still a 6-6 team. But you're still going to go through and say that is a way tougher road than what Cincinnati went through. And I mean, look, I mean, that's fair, but to me, this Big 12 schedule, it's not like if we were comparing a Big 10 or SEC team to Cincinnati. An 11-1 Big 10 team, especially like an East team, because that's just way better. Like the West is just blah. Or any sort of SEC team that's 11-1 typically would have just a way better strength of schedule than what Cincinnati had. I don't like the Big 12. Just isn't that the Big 12 is sort of. I mean, the Oklahoma win is very good, but if they crush Baylor and like Cincinnati wins a close game,
well, that's what I was gonna say. Like it's incumbent upon Cincinnati this weekend to play their best game. I mean, you're taking on a Houston team that's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, Houston's 11-1 or 21 in the college football playoff ranking. So, I mean, that's a pretty good win for you if you can get it done. It would be incumbent upon them to look pretty impressive while doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's incumbent upon both of those teams. Style points for both of those teams are absolutely going to matter. So that's the nightmare scenario. I mean, if you're Cincinnati and Georgia wins – convincingly, especially because there's still that scenario of there still would be a whole bunch of Alabama. But I think you're right with Alabama.
If they lose, they're not getting
it. I think you're right with Alabama that like the last 2 weeks and what they've had to do, let's not forget, I mean, the Arkansas game was way dicier than it should have been. I think that has hurt them and will. But if they lose, I mean, if they lose like an overtime game to Georgia and everybody's like, well, wait a minute, that's the best team. We know that's the second most talented team. And but, you know, there's all kinds
but
of
But I
voices.
Go back to, like, if they lose against Georgia and they get their second loss, the only way they could get in at that point is to be number four. And they're not putting them at number four. They're just not going to do it. They're not saying, I know Georgia, you just beat them in the SEC title game, but turn around again here in the first round of the playoff and go play them. I cannot see that happening.
Well, yeah, except, but that can't be a reason. I mean, it's not ideal. But then again, a lot of people might be like, okay, well, if we're going to have an instant rematch, let's have an instant rematch. I mean, I know it's not ideal, and it would be some mental gymnastics to somehow have them at three if they got in. But you may just have to do that. I mean, you may just have to. But I would agree that I think if Alabama loses in any way, that they would need the help, including maybe a Cincinnati loss. Cincinnati's path, obviously, they need – well, I mean, look, if Cincinnati can get, like, Iowa to beat Michigan, which I think is – I just don't think it's very likely at all, but that would be big. But other of the realistic options, Georgia win somewhat convincingly,
if Oklahoma – if Baylor could help you out, then you're fine. Terry texting in, why is Georgia guaranteed a spot if they lose? Who would they have beaten this year?
Well, it is true that Georgia has not beaten – I mean, it just hasn't played out that – you know, like hammering Florida right now just doesn't look the same as it did, even at the time. Like, the time they did it was like, yeah, this could be a game. Florida beat them last year. Florida's still good. And then Florida just absolutely bottoms out from there. They went to Auburn and absolutely handled that team. You know, they beat Arkansas when Arkansas was number 8, 37-0. They beat Clemson when Clemson was number 3. There's a lot of, at the time, it looked like a huge win. It didn't turn out to be as big a win, but they've beaten a lot of, I think, good teams. I mean, Kentucky's a good team, hammered them.
They've not just beaten people. They've totally dominated everyone on their schedule.
And that's the thing.
Outside of Clemson.
And let's remember, that is a huge part of this. This is subjective. I mean, again, the committee made the case that Michigan should be ranked over Michigan State because they looked better, basically. And, I mean, look, Michigan is better. But there's an example of you just saw one team beat the other team, and you're going with subjective, you know, you're going with eyeball test. An eyeball test on Georgia is like 99%. It's an A++++. So that's the answer. I mean, okay, they don't have, you know, like a road win over a current top 5 or top 10 team. They've got a lot of good wins over teams that are, I mean, who's still ranked that they beat?
Clemson is, Kentucky is, Arkansas is.
Auburn?
I don't think
Auburn fell. Auburn has fallen out. I mean, you have to, you know, you watch them week to week, they're getting in.
I'm calculating right now the amount of points that Georgia has given up all season long. And the answer is 83. They've given up 83 points this year. There are teams like Alabama could get in. They'll give up 83 points in 2 weeks. I mean.
Yeah. Right. Sure.
They're getting in.
Yeah. No, they're getting in. I mean, it hasn't played out to be like the absolute murderer's row that some SEC teams play, but it's still fine. It's good.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on the college football playoff and the coaching craziness turnover that we've seen in the last 48, 72 hours in the college football world. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning, and we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
We appreciate you taking time to come on with us here today as Joe Rexroad's computer starts playing audio. It's good stuff.
Luckily, I was muted.
You were. So, David, what's been your reaction to the last 72 hours in college football? Lincoln Riley to USC. Brian Kelly goes from Notre Dame to LSU. And now you have an Oklahoma job and a Notre Dame job to fill as well. What's been your reaction watching all this take place in a very short amount of time?
I think I really want to know why this has been such a weird coaching carousel, because early on it was a fascinating development that you had a lot of coaches in good jobs like Michigan State with Mel Tucker, Dave Aranda at Baylor. Even Jeff Traylor at UTSA, if you want to throw him in the mix. Coaches at good jobs, Mark Stoops as well, Kentucky, staying there and not taking some big jobs where they were getting some interest. But now on the flip side of that, you have coaches that are in great jobs moving to other great jobs, which does not happen very often. So you have these sort of two trends that you really don't see in the coaching carousel kind of happening at once. And I really don't know why. And so my reaction is I kind of want to know why this is happening this year, because I don't really have a good answer for you.
Well, I never thought about it, but I just said earlier in the show, like, I never would have guessed, like, the Oklahoma head coach and the Notre Dame head coach would just willingly leave for jobs that, they're great jobs, but, and I know there's different circumstances, and I know you wrote a column about Lincoln Riley, too, kind of debunking the whole, he's just dodging the SEC, but it's wild. The numbers are wild. And another thing that, you know, we've just been talking about this, David, and I know Nicole Auerbach wrote a comment on this, but, and I know it probably doesn't matter. There's a lot of reasons like Notre Dame shouldn't be in the playoff, but what about this last night, you know, the Gary Barta, you know, making clear that, like, Brian Kelly, I guess his absence could cost them if it came to that.
Yeah, I mean, I learned something last night, because the committee during the season, it will take into account if there are missing coaches and missing players in the hindsight. If teams, like the best example this year, Oregon didn't have Kayvon Thibodeau against Ohio State. They didn't have Joe Moorhead against Stanford. Those things were factored in. But at the very end, buried deep in the website, there is a note that if there are absences that could affect the postseason, that's the one time that the committee can project forward. I did not realize that. And I think, you know, it depends on the situation. Obviously, if you had, you know, let's say Ole Miss is in the playoff and Matt Corral gets hurt, it seems realistic to project that, hey, you know, they're not going to do that great. But we had a situation, obviously, in the first year with Ohio State, that was that happened. The injury to their quarterback happened before the conference championship game.
Right.
But Cardale Jones sort of put that to bed with a huge performance against Wisconsin. But this committee, this is the only time that they're allowed to project, and it doesn't really make any sense if you're going to change the rules at the very end with the very last ranking, because they do not project until then. But then at the end, they can say, well, this is going to affect the postseason, so we're going to take that into account. It doesn't make any sense to me. But it is clearly written in the protocol, but, you know, some rules are bad, and this is a bad rule.
David Ubbin from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, what do you think of the fit with Brian Kelly at LSU? What intrigues you the most about him taking that job?
I think too much is made of the fit. You know, I think my colleague Andy Staples says it the best, that if all you care about is winning, you're going to fit really well in the SEC. The cultural stuff doesn't really matter all that much, because if you want to win and you've got a winning scheme and solid program, all that other stuff is kind of just secondary. I mean, you know, people get too caught up in, well, he's from here or he's an alum and all these things. And, you know, Urban Meyer's the best example, who never coached in the SEC, never been around Florida, came to Florida and did pretty well. So I get it. It is kind of funny. Just that you couldn't get a more opposite person from Ed Orgeron, who was obviously a dyed-in-the-wool Cajun. But, again, if you win ball games, nobody cares about fit. So, you know, I think he'll be okay. And being able to recruit with LSU on your chest is different than Notre Dame. It's not 1995 anymore. You know, Notre Dame isn't the draw that it once was. LSU's a bigger draw because they put more guys into the pros and really won national championships, and there's more to sell there than there is at LSU. And, you know, ultimately it comes down to, you know, the stat of the last three head coaches winning national championships at LSU. Brian Kelly's not a better coach than Nick Saban, but he's a better coach than Ed Orgeron. He's a better coach than Les Miles. And, you know, if you want to bet against Brian Kelly winning a national championship at some point at LSU, you're a braver man than I, because that job is just so good. And, you know, if you can recruit, you can scheme up some ball plays, you can win some ball games. He's going to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because, and I agree with everything you said. I also just, I do question a little bit the talent gap between Notre Dame. I mean, if you go by recruiting ranking, if you go by class rankings year by year, I mean, they've been pretty high, haven't they? Most years under Brian Kelly, I mean, I thought, like, what are they, third or fourth this year?
High, but not high enough.
Like top 10 consistently.
Yeah, but that's not good enough.
Yeah.
It's just not. You see it when they match up with the teams that are in the top three. You know, we've seen it time and time again. When they play Clemson, when they play Alabama, it just doesn't go well for them. And a lot of it is the guys in the trenches. I just, you know, Notre Dame made a lot of sense for a long time. And then cable TV happened, and kind of like Nebraska, some of the advantages that they had kind of vanished. And you can still recruit there. You can still win there. But, you know, things change. And Notre Dame is not what it once was, does not have some of the same advantages that they once did. And it's just different. LSU's a better job.
David, what do you make of the Oklahoma opening now? What are some names that intrigue you? And do you buy into the Vol Twitter fear that maybe Josh Heupel could be a part of that equation for Oklahoma football?
No, he's not going to be a part of it. It's the Oklahoma job, so they're not going to have to get very far down their list. I mean, I think they pick more than they chase. I think if they get beyond Brent Venables and Matt Campbell, I'll be surprised. You know, from Matt Campbell's perspective, I could see him. You know, from him and Luke Fickell both, you know, you sort of heard that Ohio State was kind of their golden goose, and maybe Notre Dame more so for Luke Fickell than for Matt Campbell. But Matt Campbell, I think, you have to look at the Iowa State job and say, have I maxed out here? Because if you don't, 2 or 3 years from now, they may be coming for you. And Oklahoma, you can do some bigger things. So, you know, if I'm Matt Campbell, I'm probably pushing hard for the OU job. But, you know, Brent Venables, bringing him back and giving him $2, $3 million to go shopping for an offensive coordinator, that's something that could work. You know, obviously he knows Oklahoma. His exit from Oklahoma was a little less dramatic than Josh Heupel's, but still not great. But he, you know, has a different relationship and may come back, and I think that makes a lot of sense from Oklahoma's perspective. So we'll see. I think ultimately, if it's anyone besides those two guys, I'll be a little surprised.
You think Fickell's going to Notre Dame?
Probably. I mean, I don't. If you're him, I don't know how you can't. You know, how can you turn that down? I know Cincinnati's getting to be a better job. And I know that their lot in life is changing. But, you know, Notre Dame's still Notre Dame. And, you know, it's not better than LSU, but it's better than about 120 other jobs. So, if you don't, you don't. But I said the same thing about Mel Tucker. I thought he was crazy. If he didn't leave Michigan State, you're sitting there. You're always going to be the fourth best job in your division, maybe the third best job sometimes. That seems like a risky proposition, but he didn't leave. So, you know, we'll see. If I was him, if I was Matt Campbell, or if I was Luke Fickell, I would absolutely take the Notre Dame job. But, you know, everything's different, and sometimes coaches value capital and what they have, where they're at. And we've seen a lot of times in the coaching carousel that the grass isn't always greener on the other side. When these big jobs come open, things don't go well for you, and you end up, you know, becoming an analyst for someone. And I think coaches are given pause when you go to places that have really big expectations. And so we'll see. I would bet for it, but we'll see.
So we've been talking college football playoff scenarios, David. And, I mean, you tweeted about this last night, but you got the one scenario where it could just come down to, you know, Oklahoma State looking really good against Baylor. Maybe, I mean, Houston's a really good team, but maybe Cincinnati just, you know, beats them, but isn't all that impressive, and everything else falls down to where it's one of those two. What do you think happens in that scenario?
I mean, Oklahoma State'd be adding a top 10 win or a top 15 win, depending on how far Baylor would drop. And more than likely, if Cincinnati beats Houston, they're probably dropping out of that top 25. And that matters. I just don't think it'll be close. I think a one loss to Oklahoma State with a win over Oklahoma, the win over Baylor to close, it's not going to be close. Cincinnati fans should just brace themselves to get bumped out because it's going to happen. So if that's, you know, where the last spot is up for, we'll see. But that would require, obviously, Alabama beating Georgia, which I don't think is going to happen. But we'll see. So there's, you know, six teams for four spots. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting final weekend. Somebody is more than likely going to be mad on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, they always are.
I don't think there's any question about that. David Uppen from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. David, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. David Uppen does a great job covering college football for The Athletic. When we come back, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair this week. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We throw out different scenarios both in sports and in life. Encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair this week. Michelle, I turn things over to you.
What do we want to start with, guys, sports or non-sports?
Sports.
Sports. Okay, in honor of the college football playoff, you are on the committee. What are your four teams you would like to see in the playoff?
Okay, I'll start. Give me Georgia. Give me Michigan. Give me Cincinnati. And give me Alabama, if that was possible. Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, Alabama are my four teams I want
to
see.
So just to be clear, you're saying, like, if right now you were picking, or you, this is just the four teams that you would like to see when the dust clears.
Four teams you would like to see, just based off.
Those are my four. Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, Alabama.
I think mine's the same. I mean, I'm I'm scouring here. Let me see. Is there anybody else? Like, how about
Oklahoma?
A little Lane. Matt Corral. You know, the thing is, I will say that I really wanted to see Ohio State's offense against Georgia's defense, and I still think Ohio State's offense is arguably the best. In the game at Michigan, Michigan killed their defense, ran it. It was not an ideal passing day. Like, I think Ohio State indoors against Georgia could still be maybe the best threat that they could receive. Okay, that the biggest challenge that defense could receive. So that would be my only thing. I think I would. I'd put them in there instead of Alabama. Well, except I think Alabama is the second most likely offense to challenge Georgia. Just give me Ohio State instead of Cincinnati. Sorry, Cincinnati.
See ya.
I'm sorry, poor.
See you later, Luke Fickle.
Give me Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State. I want to see them. It's not going to happen. We're not going to ever see it. But if I had my druthers, I'd like to see C.J. Stroud and those receivers against Georgia's D. That might be the best, like, unit against unit matchup we could possibly get in the playoffs.
There you go.
So obviously the three are pretty much set. I have Georgia, Bama, Michigan, and I was going between Cincinnati, but I kind of want to see Oklahoma in there.
Oklahoma, not Oklahoma State.
No, Oklahoma State. Sorry. Oh yeah.
Ooh, don't make that mistake.
The mullet.
Joe looked at me like, no, Oklahoma State. Yeah. So those are my four. Okay, non-sports. In honor of December 1st, what are your top three Christmas, or if you don't celebrate Christmas, top three holiday movies that are you think are the best? Elite, can't go a season without.
Okay.
Watching.
Rexro, would you like to start,
Mr. Movie Guy?
If you feel good.
I will go Christmas Vacation at number one. I enjoy the heck out of that movie. My wife, actually, she doesn't dislike it, but she's just like very meh towards Christmas Vacation, which that's fine. She can be wrong about some things, and this is one of those things that she's wrong about.
Indeed.
Christmas Vacation.
Sorry, but you're wrong.
Is at number one. I'm kind of a sucker for Home Alone, so I'll go Home Alone at number two. I enjoy the heck out of that. Christmas Story, number three. It's on all day long on Christmas Day. Give me a Christmas Story. You'll shoot your eye out.
Yep, absolutely. And I get mad when I hear people complain about how...
Joe, you get mad?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that shocking? I know. Angry old man yelling at a cloud. But people complain all the time. Every year I hear people complain about how like a Christmas Story is on all the time. No, it should be on all the time. It's amazing. But I'm with you. Number one is Christmas Vacation. How do you not love that movie? I mean, Cousin Eddie?
Yeah.
By the way, before we get to your choices, have you seen Christmas Vacation?
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Also came out in theaters 32 years ago today.
Wow.
Okay.
Thanks to Rex Chapman on Twitter.
There you go.
So for the third one, I'm looking at the Rotten Tomatoes list. They have Die Hard number 11. Die Hard's not a Christmas movie. Come on, guys.
Thank you. We agree on this.
I mean, it's not. It happened during the holiday season.
Right.
That's so stupid. I'm not like a big they have Trading. If Trading Places counts, then I'll go with that. They have, you know, like my wife, Katie, loves like It's a Wonderful Life, and I like it too. I mean, I guess I might make that my number three. Like, if I'm going to watch a really old school movie,
it's good.
I'll go with that number three.
Okay.
Actually, but like, I'm not like, I don't have to watch it every year like Katie does.
Yeah.
I watched that for the first time the other day. Great movie.
I mean, it's great.
It's pretty good.
But I know what you mean. Okay, my three, they're a little bit more current, I feel like. You guys chose some classics.
We're old.
I love The Grinch.
The new one.
The non-cartoon one.
Yeah.
The Jim Carrey
people
one.
Like, yeah. Yes.
2004 one.
Absolutely love that. The baby Grinch, if you do not think that is the cutest thing ever, love it. The Grinch. Home Alone, Robbie, I'm a sucker for that one as well. I watch that, I think, every Christmas growing up. And then Christmas with the Cranks is like a tradition in my family. We watch it every Thanksgiving night, I think, in honor of Christmas. It's just so funny. And that's my favorite one.
Oh, wait. I got to change mine. Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Oh, Elf is definitely my
favorite. Oh, Elf. Yeah.
It's in there.
Oh, God.
It's not in my top three, but it's in there.
Yeah,
mine's probably Elf's a solid four for me.
I can't get sick of Elf ever.
Okay. Sports. If you could choose any quarterback right now to place on the Tennessee Titans, who would you choose based off their performance currently, not like past or anything, currently how they're playing right now to replace Ryan Tannehill? Who would it be?
Rodgers. That's who it would be. Aaron Rodgers, which would hurt me. But yes, Aaron Rodgers.
I'd like to see like Kyler Murray with like imagine like Kyler Murray with Derrick Henry, you know. There's some other good choices out there, but yeah, absolutely. Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, Titans could have drafted.
Yes, they could have.
In the 05 draft. And as a lot of teams could have drafted.
Who knows? May have a chance to sign him this offseason. We'll see what happens. Trade for him.
Okay,
who
that was no fun because we all picked him. Okay,
you doing Rodgers too?
Yes, I am. Yeah,
Kovatow, slinging Mr. that Kovatow thing around out there for the Titans.
You're not going Big Ben, Steelers fan? No?
You know, no. He's been looking like a grandpa out there.
Yeah.
It's just very tragic. It's end of that era. End of that era. It's time. Okay, and finally, you can have one brand that represents you. Adidas, Nike, any of that. Which would you like to sponsor you?
Okay, so wait. So you are pitching this brand? Like you have an endorsement deal with them?
Yeah, you have an endorsement deal. You're NIL, Joe. Joe gets an NIL deal. You too, Robbie. Which brand do you want to represent you?
That's a good question.
I know mine, so do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Jordan's for sure. Jumpman crew. Give me all the J's. Ugh. Couldn't you guys see it? Did you just roll your eyes, Joe?
Oh, I think that. I thought that would be your guess.
Yeah, I did.
We know how big of a Michael Jordan fan you are.
Yeah.
Come on. All the sneakers. Oh, my gosh. I'd be in heaven. Yep, that's mine. Hands down.
I think I'd want Steph Curry's like looking like grandpa shoes, like the first Curry's that came out, if I could have that, you know?
Give me Crocs. I'll be sponsored by Crocs.
Crocs
have become in. I was in Panama City Beach back in May, and they've got like this outdoor mall area that I'm sure most people listening, if you've been to Panama City Beach, you've probably been to. There was a line out the door, like significantly down the block, to the Crocs store. Wow. And I looked at my wife and I said, am I missing something? What in the world's going on here? Crocs, man. They're back in.
Okay. Well, I think I want to actually – I'm going to go with Vans. And only the Sean Penn 1982 Fast Times Ridgemont High checkered white and black Vans.
There you go.
That I want that to be my brand.
Why could I picture you wearing them?
Oh, yeah.
Also,
do
Atari.
You
No, I you know what? I begged my parents to buy me those Vans, and they never did in the 80s.
Those Vans, those big pants you said you would wear in
well,
the rat tail?
I had parachute pants.
Oh, yeah, that's what they are.
I had a lot of parachute pants. I mean, if you're going to break dance, you're going to be an elite break dancer, you need to
pair
parachute
pants. You
better have
parachute pants.
Yeah.
Hibbs tweeting in to me, your NIL has to be Cracker Barrel. And there's a pretty strong chance.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Pretty strong chance that would be the winner.
Yeah. Like just like the Kansas kid who did the Applebee's, like imagine you at like doing a Cracker Barrel like that. I mean, that'd be pretty strong.
Strong possibility. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Drew texting in, Jingle All the Way as a Christmas movie. That's pretty close to my top three.
I actually don't know that I've seen that. Remind me who's in Jingle All the Way.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, never
He's
saw
a superhero.
Right.
It's Turbo Time, Turbo Man.
I remember, yeah. Oh, by the way, I want to change mine. In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, okay.
I am an In-N-Out Burger pitch man. I was born to do it. Wearing Vans.
A lot of strong disagreement on the text line that Die Hard is, in fact, a Christmas movie.
How?
A lot of people upset with us.
How? I mean, I love Die Hard. I've watched Die Hard probably 20-some times in my life.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. It's one of the great – I think it's one of the best action movies ever made. Have you seen it? No. Michelle looking at me like – yeah. Well,
I'm just waiting for you guys to turn over here and be like, did you see it? Nope.
Add it to the list. I mean, they play Run DMC, Christmas and Hollis, like in the opening of the movie.
Yeah.
So that's
it's
awesome.
Great movie.
I love that.
Every time it's on, I'll stop and watch it.
And like, and then at the end, they play like some Christmas music. And then in the middle, it's an action movie. What?
Yes, it is.
What are we talking about?
That has pretty much nothing to do with Christmas. But hey.
Super.
If you want to count it, good for you. Many people on the text line very upset with us.
That's and this is one of those topics that just gets people so fired up.
I know.
Why? It's like the hot dog's a sandwich. Yeah,
totally not a sandwich.
Hot dog's a hot dog.
There you go. We'll get more texts about that now, too. Appreciate
that.
Bring
it on. Let's go.
This has been The Choice is Yours. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. Get his thoughts on the Titans as they head into their bye week. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.